Monster Man, episode 499, Fish Up to Zin. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are concluding our journey through the Al-Qadim Monstrous Compendium Appendix and its collection of Arabian Nights-inspired monsters. In fact, having said that, we're not really concluding it because we are going to do a wrap-up episode, which coincidentally will be episode 500, although for various reasons it's not anything like the 500th episode of Monster Man. There have been a lot more than that, but never mind that. We'll be doing that soon. For today, though, we're taking a look at two monsters. Technically, it's three, but one of them we've already done. But before we do any of that, it's time to thank a Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who has gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, where I take a look at the myths and religions of the world. We're between seasons right now, and I'm doing all kinds of fun one-off topics. It's a good place to jump into the show. So thank you very much to returning patron, Gabe McMahon. Your support means a lot to me. So our first monster for today is the Vishap. The Vishap is a kind of Zakaran dragon, but they're very interesting compared to their more traditional D&D counterparts. So in early D&D, dragons are pretty powerful, and there's been a lot of escalation since. But the Vishap actually have fewer powers than the dragons in the Monsters Manual. They're much more like mundane creatures. They don't have breath weapons or spells. They can't even fly. They're just kind of big, strong, and clever. They're very dangerous opponents, but they're a bit more like people in that, or people is the wrong word, but they navigate the world through physical and like diplomatic interaction in the way that a person might. Now, the name Vishap for a dragon-like creature comes from Armenian legend, but I don't think that the AD&D Vishap is very similar to the legendary Vishap, which is much more of a mythical creature with supernatural powers and supernatural resonances. So in the legends that this name comes from, the Vishap could fly and was associated with water and storms, a bit more like a Chinese dragon. Its travels through the sky could cause thunder or whirlwinds. Vishap were said to live on Mount Ararat, which I believe is also where Noah's Ark is said to have washed up. The Vishap was an evil creature that would steal babies and replace them with its own children. It seems ambiguous whether there was just one Vishap that had a bunch of monster babies, or whether all of these creatures were properly called Vishaps. I've definitely read stories that describe multiple Vishaps, where Vishap just means dragon, not like the dragon, just a dragon. And these Vishaps were fought and defeated by the fiery-haired warrior god Vahan, who is subsequently known as the Vishap Reaper, although you'll often see this translated into English as Vahan the Dragon Slayer. Archaeological monuments known as the Vishapakar, the Serpent Stones, have existed in Armenia since like the 8th century BC, although I don't know that we have any evidence that that's what they were called at the time. Just from the little reading I've done, I think these things have been around for a long time, and then in the 19th century, the term Vishapakar became like at least like officially associated with them. It may have been a name that people called them, but it was sort of recorded at that time. And this is because some of them seem to have dragon or serpent-like heads carved on them. This is a very interesting topic, and one that I've only briefly discussed because I don't think that the Vishap of the Al-Qadim Monstrous Compendium Appendix actually has a huge amount to do with the Vishap of Armenian legend, other than the name. But doing this reading did make me realize that not only did I not know any of this story, but I don't think I know anything about pre-Christian Armenian religion and mythology, other than that there's clearly some influence from Persia. So for example, Vahan is one of a kind of group of deities, like three deities, that includes Aramazd and Anahit. And clearly Aramazd is Ahura Mazda, or Oromazdes, right, the supreme deity within Zoroastrianism, and Anahit is Anahita, a Persian or, well, Near Eastern generally deity that one finds in different cultures in the region. And there was a whole thing for like Greek hybridization with these faiths. So Vahan in particular was associated most commonly with Heracles. Heracles being an interesting example of someone who cosmologically isn't all that big deal, but in terms of kind of the popular consciousness is a huge deal, and therefore he gets equated with things even when, you know, on a strictly kind of book of deities scale, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, that is the Vishap. Quite an interesting dragon in terms of its abilities, one that you have to think about what it's going to do in different ways from, you know, it's not just a regular D&D dragon given a regionalized name. It's actually quite different from the D&D dragon, even though a more conventional D&D dragon would arguably be more like the legendary Vishap than the Al-Qadim Vishap is. But it's the difference that's important to the authors, I think. Next up, we have the Zaratan, but we did the Zaratan last season, so let's move on. Next up, we have the Xin, river-dwelling trickster spirits who take the form of serpents, but who can also take on human or other forms. They have magical music. I mean, they're basically bards. Well, they're sort of bards slash wizards, but they have a special effect, which is that when a bunch of them are all performing together, they become more powerful. Not only does the number of Xin who are present impose a penalty on saving throws against their magical effects, but also they unlock new abilities the more of them there are. So they tend to show up in kind of bands of up to six, or maybe even more, but their magical abilities cap out at six Xin. They are fun-loving and irresponsible, and they particularly love to get together and show up where travelers are encamped and ask them for hospitality. Now, as you may remember, in Zakara, hospitality is an obligation that is taken extremely seriously. So if someone is a guest under your roof, you're supposed to be willing to make sacrifices for them. You're supposed to treat them almost as if they were a member of your own family. So the Xin arrive, and then they use their magical abilities to play pranks on the travelers. They don't hurt them, but they sort of lampoon them, and they will get them to, you know, they'll use their various like illusion and mind control powers to create ridiculous situations, you know, make stuffy clerics do silly dances and so forth. And while this is just them being pains in the butt, they're also testing to see whether people maintain that obligation of hospitality, kind of testing to see whether you're a good sport. Because if you're cool about it, then the Xin will reward you. And if not, then they will put a curse on you because your comfort and peace of mind aren't so important that you're allowed to just ignore the rules of hospitality. I don't know that they all come from the same legend, but there certainly is a legendary creature called a Xin. It is a river-dwelling spirit from West African folklore. I've seen it as specifically part of the legends of the Songhai people, but it also says that it turns up in other places as well. Xin are river spirits. The word Xin seems to be a local term for Jin. And the Xin are these small spirits of certain local areas. They're explicitly described as not being the same as these kind of major spirits or deities that have like big cosmic roles. They're just kind of, you know, little spiritual guys. And some of them do have the power to do magic using music, such as the blind musician Xin Kibaru, who had the power to command animals with his music. Although I don't know whether that's a power that he had, or I've seen him described as having a magical instrument. So he has like a magical, it's called a guitar in one source, but I have to assume that that's a translation. Or maybe not, I don't know. Anyway, he has the power to command animals, and he gets into a conflict with the Songhai hero Faran, who turns up in lots of other stories. One note that I found says that the Xin are unable to control their emotions, which would line up with the kind of whimsical and impulsive creatures described here. So I like these guys as fairy tale antagonists. They are good examples of people who are pains in the neck and could make your life more difficult, but aren't actually going to fight or kill you, which I think neatly splits the difference on Al-Qadim in that they are not hostile, they're not threats, but you don't know that, and they would never reassure you that they're not, because that would be like breaking kayfabe and spoiling the game. So you have to kind of remember your Zakaran social principles in order to deal with the Zin, which I think is fun and appropriate for the kind of campaign that this book seems to be driving toward. And that's it. They start with a Zed. They're the last monster in the book. Now, coming up, we're going to do a wrap-up episode talking about the Al-Qadim Monsters Compendium Appendix in general, and also celebrating that 500th episode, even though it's really not. But like I said in the last episode, we've also got a bunch of specials coming up, including some of my favorite monsters. And so, therefore, I would anticipate that we're going to have, you know, a bit of an irregular schedule. Well, not an irregular schedule. All episodes are going to come out on the specified dates, but we're going to have a bit of a grab bag in terms of topics, at least through November, as I decide what we're going to cover next, right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.